Well, I'm going to give you four principles this evening. Will not be long, but four principles on how to multiply the resources that God has trusted us with. How to multiply the resources God has trusted us with. Proverbs chapter 13, if you'll go there, that's where we're going to start this morning. I'm just going to give you a verse or two for each one of these principles. And it's not going to be a long message tonight. I'm glad we got a chance to hear some of the young people here and to watch the video, be challenged about stewardship. And I know, because our family is involved in this, that the night before a big Christian school competition like this, there's things to do, things to get done. So I'm not going to keep you here late, but I do want to challenge you in these four areas. This morning I read to you the parable of where Jesus said a certain man gave five talents to one man, one of his servants, two talents to another one of his servants, and one talent to the other servant. The man went away to a far country, and he came back. The one man that he had given five talents said, "Look, I took those five talents, I doubled them, here's 10 talents, here's what I did with what you gave me." He multiplied his resources. The other man said, "Lord, you gave me two talents, I doubled those, and I've got four talents, I want to give those back to you, and I multiplied the resources you gave me." The last man, he said, "I have that one talent that you gave me. I didn't lose it, I didn't waste it, it didn't get taken from me. I didn't spend it. It's still here." And you remember what the master said, "Thou foolish and slothful servant." And he condemned him for not multiplying his resources. And I want to challenge you to multiply the resources that God has trusted you with, specifically the resource of our finances. And we mentioned this morning, there's lots of different resources God has given you. We often use the three T's, time, talent, and treasure. We understand that. Tonight, what I want to challenge you about, the financial part, God has given you some resources, and I want to challenge you, four principles, four ways to multiply those resources. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 11, the Bible says this, "Wealth gotten by vanity shall be diminished, but he that gathereth by labor shall increase." There's a lot of ways to get money, there's a lot of ways to get rich. There's get-rich-quick schemes all over the place. All you have to do is watch TV for a little while, listen to the radio, internet ads that come up. You can quit your job and earn a six-figure income, and you can do it this year. Doesn't matter that you're not good at selling anything. Now, some people are really good. My wife, she could sell icebergs to Eskimos, and she's good at that. I am not. I'm a terrible salesman. I've tried it, and I realize that's not for everybody. I'm not saying the sales is a bad job, but the get-rich-quick scheme is not God's plan. Also, it says the wealth gotten by vanity shall be diminished. There's some empty ways, some vain ways to get wealth. God's plan to multiply resources is for us to work diligently. We can multiply the resources that God has trusted us with by working diligently. You know, working hard is one of the best things, one of the best traits that you can learn as a person, as a young person, learn to work hard. There's a lot of temptations. There are a lot of other ways that it looks like you might be able to multiply your resources. Just recently, we had the Powerball lottery that was worth over $1 billion. And I don't remember how that broke. I think three people won it. Does that sound right? Three people won this. So they each won about a third of $1 billion. After taxes, they were probably able to buy some gum or something. I'm not sure. But they had a lot of money. That's millions, hundreds of millions of dollars. But you know, they've done studies on people that have won the lottery and had multiple millions of dollars given to them. And most of the people that win the lottery, most of the people that gain by vanity, they lose most of that money and they end up bankrupt in a very, very short time. Wealth gotten by vanity shall be diminished, but he that gathereth by labor shall increase. God blesses the diligence of a faithful, hard worker. It's the long route sometimes. It's not the fast way to get rich. It's not the easy way to get rich. This is what God blesses. God blesses the man that gets up early, goes to work, the same job, keeps going, he's faithful, he clocks in, it's time to clock in, he clocks out, it's time to clock out. And God blesses faithfulness. Now, he's not against investing, he's not against earning extra money on the side, but God blesses hard work. And as a Christian, you should be the most diligent, the hardest worker at your job. We ought to be on time. We ought to be in our place. We ought to do our job. I remember working different jobs in college, and some of the guys that I worked with in college, they'd go to work, and not necessarily the college students, but some of the other people that we worked with, and you've worked with these people. I worked the job loading trucks, unloading trucks. The truck would come in, pull into the dock, and there would be just a loaded truck full of packages, like a UPS truck. And we'd take the boxes, we'd put them on the conveyor belt. Our job was just to get the boxes out of the truck as quickly as possible and try not to break too many of them. You know, some guys would get in there, they'd crawl over the boxes, get in the back, and just sleep for half of their shift. And they'd get away with that, and they had something worked out with the supervisor, where the supervisor, their friends or buddies or whatever, so the supervisor wouldn't turn them in. And, you know, God doesn't bless that. God blesses hard work. We ought to be hard-working people. We can multiply the resources that God has trusted us with by working diligently. Now, you may have come tonight thinking, okay, we're going to get some secrets for multiplying our resources. We're going to learn how to get wealthy. We're going to learn how to get a lot of money to get rich. Well, there's no secrets to it. Pastor Lewis Johnson said, he was Brother Reed's pastor there. He's a pastor in Tucson for 50 years. And he told me this right when we were starting our church. He said, Dave, listen, I learned this. The harder I work, the luckier I get. Just keep working hard. Just keep at it. And we can multiply the resources God's trusted us with by working diligently. The next way we can multiply the resources God has given us is by being efficient stewards. Would you go to John chapter 6? John chapter 6. These are four just small lessons, but they tie together really well. So we'll preach them all four tonight. It won't take a long time. John chapter 6. What a great story. The feeding of the 5,000. Let me just double check to make sure I'm in the right place. John chapter 6. And verse number 12. Yeah, we'll get there in just a moment. So you got the feeding of the 5,000. What an awesome deal this was. The little boy, the lad, brings his lunch to Jesus, and he says, you can have my lunch. They didn't know what they were going to do to feed 5,000 men besides the women and children. Listen, we couldn't fit that many people in this auditorium. It'd be close. No, we might get 300-400 maybe, and we'd be really, really tight. 5,000 men plus the women and children. That's a lot of people, nothing to eat. The little boy comes to Jesus and said, here, you can use my lunch. There was just a little bit there. A few fish sandwiches, maybe. Maybe not even made into fish sandwiches yet. We read that story and say, fish and bread, what a great lunch. Have you ever had a fish and bread lunch? Not me. Maybe this time of year you can go to Burger King, almost any place, Lotaburger, and you can get a fish sandwich, all right, because of Lent and all that stuff. But that probably wouldn't be my first choice of lunch. That's just cultural, is what they did. He brought his lunch to Jesus. Jesus takes that lunch and he multiplies it. He prays over it. He begins breaking it, breaking the bread, distributing the fish. He fills up these baskets, 12 apostles, and he gives each one of those apostles a basket. And he takes it and he says, go out, and they distribute it. They have 5,000 people. They all sit down. The Bible says Jesus organized them up. Everybody got all they wanted to eat. And then the Bible says there were 12 baskets full. Look at John chapter 6, verse 12. When they were filled, this is Jesus talking, he said unto his disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Now that's interesting to me. He just turned, is it five fish and two breads? Or was it five breads and two fish? Was it five breads and two fish? I always get those two confused. He turned 7 items from this young boy's lunchbox into 12 baskets full left over after feeding 5,000 men, plus the women, and plus the children. And Jesus says, gather the fragments that remain that nothing be lost. I just want you to see, this is a really great principle. I think it'll help you. We can multiply the resources God's given us by being efficient stewards. You can call it thriftiness if you want to. But thriftiness allows us to multiply our resources so that we can have more to give. Jesus could have made as much as he wanted to. He could have just kept making more and more. But even after everybody had eaten, he said, bring those 12 baskets back. I don't know what he did with them. Some people think maybe he took those 12 baskets and he gave each one to one of the apostles and they got to keep that. I don't know. Maybe they took it on the boat with them as they were going across the Sea of Galilee, and, you know, when the big storm came. I don't know what happened to it. But Jesus said, bring them back that nothing be lost. There's something to this, multiplying resources And one of the ways to multiply resources is by not wasting them. You've heard this before. A penny saved is what? A penny earned. That's kind of what we're talking about with our stewardship program. If we can pay extra money on our mortgage, every dollar we pay extra on our mortgage, we save that, and we actually earn an extra dollar in addition to that. Thriftiness. Now, there's a difference between thriftiness and stinginess. Let's talk about that just for a moment. There is a difference. Stinginess is withholding from giving so that you can have more for yourself. You may know somebody that's stingy. I'm stingy sometimes. I mean, I've just got to admit that. I don't want to be. I'm trying to be thrifty. Sometimes I'm thinking about myself. Now, that's not thriftiness. Stinginess is I'm going to not spend it, and I'm not going to give it. I'm going to hoard it just for me. But thriftiness is making personal sacrifices so that you can have more to use wisely. You can multiply your resources by being thrifty. I know thrifty is a bad word. It's a bad word like budget is a bad word. Thriftiness is living under your means. It's denying yourself some of the extras so that you have more to spend wisely. We can all spend every bit of the money that we earn. That's easy to do. Every one of us. We can spend it, and we can spend that plus some. It's really easy to spend all that we make. It's easy to spend more than we make. What's difficult is spending less than we make. But if you can spend less than you make, if you can live thrifty, let me give you some practical examples. I didn't make a list, so it's off the top of my head. If you can maybe not buy the brand name, now you don't have to go by this, okay? Buy Doritos if you want to. That's not going to bother me. This is just ideas, right? Oreos instead of Hydrox cookies, okay? You understand the difference there. Some things, it's worth paying the extra. I understand. But if you, instead of buying the stuff on the shelf where you can see right here, the generic on the bottom shelf that you got to bend down that you don't actually see unless you look for it, it's a way to be thrifty. Let me give you another example. And I have nothing against buying a new car. Buy a new car, that's great. But if you buy a used car, you can save a whole lot of money. Somebody else already paid the full price of that car, maybe drove it for a little while. And as soon as you drive a car off the parking lot, it loses value. And that's fine if you got the money to do it. But a way to be thrifty is to buy one that somebody's driven for a little while. Now be careful. Don't drive one that somebody's driven all over the country or used as a delivery van and just stuff is messed up on it, okay? You still have to be wise. Just because you're buying a used car doesn't mean it's a great deal. But you can be thrifty. And there's some areas to do that. In not spending all the money that we make, what are we doing? We're multiplying our resources. I don't know exactly how these guys... The Bible says the Lord gave 5 talents to the guy and he came back and he had 5 more talents. The Bible doesn't say how he did that. Somehow, he multiplied it. Maybe he worked hard. Maybe he used that and he worked hard. And maybe, I don't know, maybe he used the 5 talents to buy the tools to go out and build something, do something, and he got 10. I don't know. But somehow, he used that and he multiplied it. Whenever I was in college, I just graduated and I just got married. There's no poorer time in a person's life than when they just graduate and they just get married. You put both of those, they compound and they just feed off each other. My wife did this, so some of our wedding gifts that were we had duplicates of. You know, crystal is expensive. I didn't know that. I just thought it made cool sounds on a cup whenever you go like this around the top of it. She took some of that crystal back and she took it back to the stores where it was purchased at. Brother Reed, I'm sorry about that dish that she gave us. But she took some of that back, and we were able to pay our rent that month. You know, that type of a thing. So during that time period, I got laid off of work. I was working in a landscaping company. It was in Chicago. Grass doesn't grow in Chicago for like 4 months of the year. So I got laid off. I needed to do something. I needed to earn some money. A lot of the guys that were there just they went to the unemployment offices and they went through all that. I did that once. I went to the employment office. I went there 1 week and I just got something wasn't right. I could work. I know there's people that can't, and that's what that's for. So I went out to one of the areas in our neighborhood, and I asked them if I could clean their gutters. This is just an example of multiplying resources. I didn't have a ladder to clean the gutters, so You know, and there's a lot of leaves up there. So the leaves, the gutters were just loaded with leaves and a lot of dust in it and stuff. I asked him, can I borrow your ladder and I'll clean your gutters? I'll only charge you $20 for it. He said yes. And while I had his ladder, I went next door and cleaned that person's gutters. Then I had $40 and I bought a ladder. And for several weeks, I tied the ladder on top of my escort wagon and I drive around house to house, walk through the neighborhoods and ask people if I could clean their gutters. It was a wonderful thing because people hired me to do a job they didn't want to do, and I was able to see diligence and hard work multiply resources. I started with zero, and at the end I had a ladder and I had some money to pay the rent. Diligence, hard work will help you multiply resources. Being efficient stewards, living thriftily will help you to multiply your resources. Thriftiness is making personal sacrifices so you can have more to use wisely. Two more. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 16. I'll read it to you. A gracious woman retaineth honor, and strong men retain riches. Retain riches. Quick principle. We can multiply the resources God has given us by investing wisely. There's three types of people that make money. Some people work to make money. Some people, and we learned that's a good thing. Some people make money work for them. And then some people make money work for eternity. And I want to challenge you about this. It's okay to work for money. Don't ever get to the idea that it's wrong to work for money. You're supposed to use other people's money, OPM, right? You ever heard of that term? Use other people's money. You use their money. You buy a house, invest, all that stuff. Now, there's problems that leads to, so be careful with that. Work hard. Earn some money, but you can multiply that money by investing wisely, making that money work for you. And then, if you can make that money not just work for you, but work for eternity, that's the kind of investment that God is very much interested in blessing. God's business is the greatest business. So the greatest investment, I really believe, is in God's business. Where else are you going to be able to invest a dollar, invest $100, whatever the amount is? You invest this amount and have returns like what we saw tonight. You can't do that. You can invest money and you can get money back. But where else can you invest money and see souls saved, see lives changed? Now see, young people make decisions, go to Bible college, you marry godly people, get back into the ministry. Where else are you going to see people, young kids come to church whose parents aren't going to bring them? They're not going to come any other way, but they come to church because of the church bus that you invested in and you helped to pay for the gas. Where else are you going to see that kind of return on your investment? You can see a return on an investment that's money. And that's making your money work for you. And that's okay. That's a good thing. But when you can make your money work for something bigger than you, make your money work for eternity, I believe that is a great way to invest wisely. The greatest investment is the eternal investment. You know, giving to God's work is a protected investment. Wouldn't it be awesome if somebody came to you and said, and you knew they were telling the truth, right? They weren't lying to you. They weren't selling you something. But they came to you and said, listen, I've got an investment. If you will invest in this, now if they tell you this, run away, okay? Because it doesn't happen. But if they tell you, I've got an investment, it is 100% guaranteed. You will not lose money. And it's guaranteed that you're going to gain all of this. Investments just don't work that way. Investments are risky. At the end of the commercial, there's always that little voice that talks really quietly and really fast. It says, past performance is not a guarantee of future results. You know, that type of a thing. Investments are risky, but when you invest in the work of God, it is a protected investment because the dividends are stored in heaven. The Bible says, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. We can multiply the resources God's given us by investing wisely. And last, Proverbs 13, verse 7. If you're in Proverbs, take a look at this. Proverbs 13, 7. The Bible says this. There is that maketh himself rich, yet hath nothing. There is that maketh himself poor, yet hath great riches. This is an irony. Maybe, does this qualify as oxymoron? Is it there? It may be. It's one of those. It what you're saying just doesn't make sense. I mean, look at that again. There is that maketh himself rich, yet hath nothing. There is the maketh himself poor, yet hath great riches. How can you make yourself rich but have nothing? How can you make yourself poor but have great riches? The answer is investing in God's work. If you don't understand God's economy, it won't make sense. It seems like a contradiction to think that you can multiply by giving. But because of God's promises, we know that generous giving is one of the greatest ways to multiply God's resources. And that is, I don't have time to preach this message, and that is because giving to God's work is like planting seeds. You plant the one seed, and the whole plant comes up and generates so many more seeds. That's the way God's economy works. So the more you give out, the more you plant, the more you give to God's work, the more you have in return. It's just an amazing way God set that up. We can multiply our resources by giving generously. I know it doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense to your financial advisor. If you sat down, we mentioned this morning, if you sat down with a financial advisor and told him how much money you're giving to the church through your tithes and your offerings and missions offering and stewardship offering, he's probably going to tell you, unless he's a Christian, he's probably going to tell you you're making bad decisions and this is not a good way to spend your money. I've had a financial advisor tell me that. And he just doesn't understand God's economy. But God has promised, and I'll read a couple of these promises if we have time. God has promised to bless as we give. God designed us to be rivers and not reservoirs. We mentioned this morning, the Dead Sea is dead because the water runs into it. And nothing ever happens. God doesn't want you to be the Dead Sea. He doesn't want you to be the one that gets and gets and gets, but never gives out. God designed you to be a river, for him to be able to bless you, let that blessing pass through, and do something great with it. Now, I'm not preaching something we would call health and wealth gospel. Just because you give to God doesn't mean everything's going to work out right in your life. It does mean that you're obeying. It does mean you're doing right. Even if nothing else works out, it still means I still ought to do it, and it still means I'm obeying. 2 Corinthians 9:6, the Bible says this, "But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. And he which soweth bountifully," I mean sow and planting a whole bunch, "shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give. Not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver." These are principles that we've tried to live by in our life. And I know that God has blessed, and I know that God has used these. We can spend our lives earning and hoarding wealth or investing in God's economy. There's a lot of stories about that. We won't take the time to tell the stories tonight. How are you going to spend your life? You can spend your life earning money just for you. Earning money for you and hoarding that. Have you seen that show? I've not watched it. I've just seen the advertisements for it. The Hoarders show. It's on like Discovery Channel or one of those channels where people have these houses and you walk into their houses and there's just so much stuff you can barely move around in there. You know, that describes a lot of people's lives. We get so that really it's dangerous for us. God wants us to be able to give, and that's why he's blessed us. Think about standing before God. At the end of your life, you're going to stand before God. This man, the master gave him 5, and he gave him back 5 more, gave him 10. He said, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." This man, the master gave him 2, and he doubled that. He was able to give 4 back. And the master said, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Would you think about this? When you stand before God, will you hear God say, "Well done, good and faithful servant"? And when you do, now think about this. We're done. This is the last statement. When you do, when you stand before God and you hear him say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant," nothing else is going to matter. It's not going to matter that you didn't get that new car that you wanted to get. It's not going to matter that you didn't get that bigger, nicer, fancy house that you wanted to get. I'm just picking big, expensive things. I have nothing against somebody getting a new car or a big, fancy house. But when you stand before God, everything that you invested in his work, you'll be thankful that you invested in his work. You're not going to stand before God and say, "Oh no, I gave too much to God." No. When you stand before God and he says, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant," nothing else is going to matter. So we can multiply our resources by working diligently, by being efficient stewards, being thrifty, by investing wisely, and by giving generously. Father, I pray that you would help us to apply some of these principles to our lives. It's very practical tonight. I hope that you would impress upon our hearts to invest in your work, to invest in eternal things. See people get saved, people come into church, lives being changed. Lord, I pray that you'd guide us, help us to make those wise decisions.